Hello, my name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Yotet, Chapter 19. Let's review Chapter 18. To recap, in Chapter 18, Bildad's arguments were more strident. Earlier in Chapter 8, Bildad accused the sons of crimes, but not Iyov overtly. In Chapter 18, Bildad stated Iyov's guilt outright. As we saw with Eliphaz's tenor, which increases argumentatively as the debates proceed, so too, Bildad's arguments are increasingly hostile and combative. In Chapter 18, Bildad argued that Iyov is very wicked. He didn't even bother to bring proofs from Iyov's behavior. He just stated them as a fact. Because Iyov is suffering so greatly, he must have committed horrible crimes. In our chapter, Chapter 19, we will learn Iyov's response to Bildad. In this chapter, we feel the overwhelming loneliness and alienation that Iyov feels. He begins his response, Ad ana togyun nafshi, utedakunani vemilim. Until when will you sadden my spirit and crush me with the words? You recognize the phrase from Zmirot for Shabbat, Ad ana tugyon nefesh ne'enacha, from Baruch Kel Elyon. Till when will our souls be saddened because the destruction of Jerusalem? A lot of phrases and a lot of words in Iyov were used by poets, by others who wrote beautiful literature. Verse 3, you have humiliated me 10 times. Aren't you ashamed of acting like strangers towards me? Iyov feels abandoned by God as well. In verse 6, Iyov continues, God encircled me in his net. Verse 7, Hen etzak chamas, lo velo e'ene, ashavea ve'ein mishpat. Even though I cry out injustice and I plead to God directly, there is no justice. We feel the loneliness and abandonment and alienation of Iyov in this perek. It's so profound. Verse 9, God stripped me of my honor and removed my crown, my majesty, a feeling like a self-confident person. Verse 10, he has uprooted my hope like a tree. God is so angry with me and looks upon me like an enemy. All my friends and family abandoned me. And in verse 16, Iyov is shouting, even my servant rejects me. My wife is disgusted by my breath, and I have to ingratiate myself with my offspring. Ramban interprets, his children were all killed. So maybe this means his grandchildren, since his children have been murdered, right? My offspring must mean my grandchildren. The description in this chapter goes way beyond the image of loneliness and abandonment that we saw in the earlier chapters. Iyov is pretty much saying, all those who used to love me now detest me and turn against me. Even those who are my servants, my wife, my grandchildren, everyone has abandoned me and find me disgusting. Verse 21, Chanuni, Chanuni atem rei, ki yad Eloka nagabi. Chanuni, from the word chen, pity me, my friends, because God afflicted me. Ramban explains, you friends have to pity me, because we were friends. We were friends in da'at and chokhmah, says Ramban, in knowledge and wisdom. Ramban is making an insightful comment here, because there are different relationships that a person has. We saw this in the chapter. We mentioned the wife, we mentioned the friends, we mentioned the grandchildren, we mentioned the servants. The wife needs to be physically attracted to her husband to want him to come close. And now she is disgusted because of his decrepit state. But friends, whose connection is the intellectual arena, the marketplace of ideas, they should never abandon their compatriots. Eov feels very betrayed by his intellectual circle of friends. Now comes a verse with double meanings, verse 23. Mi yiten efo v'yikatvun milai, mi yiten basefer v'yuchaku. If only my words will be written down, if only my words would be inscribed in a book, says Eov. Verse 24. Be'et barzel ve'ofaret la'ad batsur yichtzavun. My words should be written with an iron stylus and lead and engraved on rock. Even though the book of Eov is mostly dialogue and in the meter of the spoken word, it is also clearly a tour de force of the written word. And the writer is clearly writing these words down. The book's central concept is as a book. So this phrase is a nod and a wink to the audience who will read the book. So this is an interesting break of the third and fourth wall which we have in the idea of literature. The whole time, the individuals are talking to each other. But here, the writer is really winking towards us, because this book has been written down. Rashi expands on verse 24. Engravers would carve words into rocks with an iron tool, and then fill in the words with lead. This continues the metaphor of writing these words down so they will never be forgotten. But there are other possible images as well. Is he speaking about a stone marker on a burial plot? Today, we all bury our dead and give them individual graves with headstones. Right? Coming to mind is my mother's gravestone in Beit Shemesh, and it was carved, and we filled in the letters with black lead. In those days, they did not have individual plots and unique plots. But maybe he wants to have his story on or near his final resting place. Ramban explains that he wants his story inscribed in stone so that others who hear his plight will have pity. Even though he knows that the only one who can really save him is God. But he really wants to spread his story for people to know his fate. Again, this idea of a break. Even though he's saying, I want it written in stone, it was written in a book on parchment and is one of the most universally read books of the Bible. Va'ani yadati goali. Chevecharon al afar yakum. My Redeemer lives and will be the final being on earth. Could we also explain that Eov would like his pain inscribed on the rock of God? He does use the word Goali, my redeemer, here as well. Eov wants everyone, his family, his friends, and God, who have all abandoned him, to have pity on him. But they won't. Especially the friends. In verse 28, Rashi interprets, "Why don't you show me sympathy? Why don't you wonder about the root of the matter? Shoresh hadavar. Why am I suffering?" Instead, you are assuming sin and wickedness. But there could be other reasons. In the last verse of this chapter, Eov proclaims, "Guru lachem mipnei cherev, ki cheima avonot charev, lema'an teid'u shadun." You should fear the sword, for God's anger about sin begets the sword. Know there is punishment. This is not a theoretical discussion about sin, according to Rashi. Eov is warning his friends that their speech will lead to God's anger and their destruction. The spelling in this pasuk of the word shadun is really shedin, the law. But to make it rhyme with the rest of the pasuk, it is made into shadun. So Rashi says, here we go according to the chtiv for understanding, how it's written to understand the word. Ramban concurs and even more explicitly interprets that their indictment of Eov will bring them a vengeful sword, a cherev nokemet, death, retribution, because all hypocrites will be judged. Amos Chacham says that this is actually a veiled curse, not only a warning directed towards the friends, but that Eov is so upset with the friends that he's cursing them, that the same wrath of God that has consumed him will consume them. So to recap, in our chapter, we feel the overwhelming loneliness and alienation that Eov feels. It's palpable. His friends humiliated him and abandoned him. God has made his life so unbearable. His wife finds him disgusting, and the grandchildren keep their distance. What could be a greater punishment than that, that your grandchildren don't want to be with you and don't want to spend time with you and are keeping their distance? Eov feels abandoned by his friends. They were connected in the intellectual arena, the marketplace of ideas, but they have abandoned him. Eov feels very betrayed by everyone, by his friends and whoever's listening to him in his vicinity, so he wants his story shared with others. If necessary, he will engrave it on rock with a stylus and fill in the letters with lead. Maybe others who read his story will show him sympathy. And we are. Here we are, thousands of years later, reading these words and feeling compassion, sympathy, and empathy. His friends were a big disappointment to him. And in the last verse, Eov warns the friends that they will get their retribution for abandoning him. And maybe it's not just a warning, but a veiled curse. That shows how desperate Eov is at this moment. Next time, we will study together chapter 20, Perek Kaf, Tzofar's second oration. Thank you for studying together, L'Ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.